Hello and welcome to the Fantasy Life Podcast Championship Sunday Review Edition. I'm your host, Ian Hart. It's a great day to be great. It's a great day to break down what ended up, in my opinion, being some pretty fun NFC and AFC championship action. Joining me, as always, Fantasy Life Director of Analytics, all-around baller, Dwayne The Rock McFarland. Dwayne, I think I was yelling a little too loud at the bar with the boys yesterday. I don't think I have my usual vocal range, but we did experience some good football and we got some goodness to talk about, my man. How's it going?
Hey man, it's doing good. I'm doing good. I love the games. I probably went overboard since we're getting towards the end of the year, trying to do all these different like pick 'em contests and different things like that. I think I lost like $300 yesterday, like all on stuff I was just messing around with, like right up leading to the games. But I was like, I don't care. I just want to, you know, have some money riding. I got some things right. You know how it is when you're trying to do parlays and stuff, Ian. You know, getting four and five legs right. If I was smart, I would have just like used my core plays and just tried to get like two or three things right. But no, I had to try to get four or five right because I was like, why not try to go for like the big payout?
I made the, mistake I think we've all kind of done before where you have a real good first game and then all of a sudden the confidence just couldn't be higher, Dwayne. And then you come crashing back to reality when you try to figure out a second straight football game. So going to be breaking down both of the actions. Thank you guys for tuning in. And with that, let's get after it. Chiefs obviously took down the Ravens 17-10, covering as 4.5-point underdogs, the under cash with relative ease at 44. Didn't think so, Dwayne. I mean, freaking 20 minutes in this game, Mahomes and company had gone down, scored two touchdowns. We had the awesome, you know, extended play score from Lamar to Zay Flowers. Then Lamar completes a 13-yard pass to himself, and I thought we were about to watch a like 40-42 shootout. Obviously, then no one went on to score really until the fourth quarter in this one. So ended up being a bit of a defensive slugfest. And as we were talking about a little before the show, Dwayne, saw a pretty, you know, market shift in strategy from the Chiefs from the first half to the second half.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think Mahomes honestly could have had a bigger game. They really changed the way that they were attacking the Ravens. And right, I get it. Like this Chiefs team, I think versus the ones in the past where they would just really try to keep like the speedometer pegged. It's like, okay, we're just going to pass. We're just going to give you all the Mahomes until you just can't handle any more Mahomes, you know, and you're going to just kind of, you know, cave under this avalanche, right, yeah, of passing yardage. If you look at Mahomes, like in the game, it was 241 yards and one passing touchdown. But I think that's a little bit misleading because in the first half they came out and to my surprise, honestly, I really thought they would use more Pacheco in the first half, but they said, no, we are going to come out and we're going to attack the number two passing EPA defense in the league. And we're going to try to punch them right in the face. And I think that they did that in that first half, 161 passing yards for Mahomes. Plus he had the touchdown. And if you look at it, yes, then they're up 10 points going into, you know, to halftime. Lamar Jackson on the other side is definitely struggling. I think at that point he had a 42% completion rate or something like that. He hadn't even completed half of his passes, and one of them had been, you know, to himself, which was pretty cool. You know, and he had some big plays, but yeah, Lamar was struggling from a consistency standpoint, and the Chiefs have a really good secondary as well. And that was where we just really saw the shift in the Chiefs game plan. And that first half, 65% of the time they were dropping back to pass. And the second half, that dropped down to 53%. In the fourth quarter, only 47% of the time that the Chiefs ran a play was it actually a drop back. So I think with the way the game played out, they shifted, you know, and they just decided we're not going to turn the ball over. And the Ravens made some adjustments in the second half. You could see it. You know, they even talked about it. You know, we actually got a good sideline report. You know, those aren't always good, but Harbaugh is pretty honest. He's like, hey, we figured out their fronts. We can't give away the easy screens. And so they started running some more man coverage and things like that to try to take away some of the easy passes to Rashee Rice and whatnot. So I don't want to completely just say it had nothing to do with Baltimore's secondary. But again, they had the lead, and the Chiefs honestly kind of shelled up. And this is the new version of the Chiefs. They're just going to do what they need to do to win. But Mahomes was great, man. 80% completion rate this weekend. He was the only quarterback on championship weekend to have a plus drop back or CPOE completion rate over expected. It was +8. Everyone else was below zero. So congrats to Mahomes. Steps up again. I know it wasn't as pretty as what Chiefs fans probably are used to, given how good this offense has been. But I think this is the new reality of the Chiefs. But Mahomes still played really good, man. He's the GOAT.
hey, you know, keep taking that profit if you're not trying to go broke out there. Only had a 5.9 yard average target depth. I mean, every other quarterback that played yesterday was at 9.4 or above. So certainly more dinking and dunking than we're used to. But I agree with the sentiment that they really just seem to take their foot off the gas early on. We obviously had that huge fourth down conversion to Travis Kelce. The touchdown, I mean, yeah, Kyle Hamilton, I guess, gave it up, but that was just a perfect pass and catch more than anything out there. And, you know, ended up doing enough in the first half to overcome what was, you know, an underwhelming second half. Punt, but of course they get that clutch completion to none other than Marquez Valdes-Scantling to end the game, and cash my alternate receiving lines for MVS. So that was a nice little hit on that one. Dwayne certainly had to wait it out, but
gross.
I know, man. That's how I was the same way with you though, man. It's like, all right, I got three more games to gamble on until next freaking August and September. Might as well make the most out of it. So mentioned the Travis Kelce touchdown, also caught all 11 of his targets for 116 yards and 17 career playoff games with Mahomes now, 133 catches, 1,516 yards, and 18 touchdowns. Absolutely unbelievable stuff, and ended up passing none other than Jerry freaking Rice for the most playoff receptions of all time. So incredible, and accordingly, so is Mahomes in his career playoff action. Now 14-3 with 4,800 passing yards, 44 total touchdowns, and just 7 INTs in 17 career playoff games. So again, mentioned the MVS dagger. At least last year during the regular season, Dwayne, we got some level of not consistency, but MVS would hit some big plays. It was more Gabe Davis-esque than this year when he literally only had, I think, like 200 receiving yards during the regular season. So weeks 1 through 18, MVS only caught 3 passes all freaking regular season that were thrown at least 20 yards downfield. Lo and behold, he has had 3 in his past 2 games here now. So playoff MVS making things happen. Overall thoughts, though, on the rest of the offense, Dwayne? It seems like when they go up against the 49ers, no disrespect to Chiefs defense, maybe they are this good. I mean, you mentioned the Ravens being number 2 in EPA allowed per dropback. Chiefs are number 3, so, hey, maybe they can just keep playing this brand of football. But, hey, Kelce, Rashee Rice, a little bit of MVS here. Guys are stepping up when they need to.
Yeah, real quickly on MVS, you know, he came through with the two critical catches the week before in the divisional round against the Bills, even though they were kind of ugly with the hand positioning and everything and the double clutching going on. But ultimately, he made those catches. And it does appear that they have rewarded him, Ian, because he had a season-high 97% route participation this last weekend. Now, the 49ers are really good against outside wide receivers. Maybe outside wide receivers besides the ones named Jameson Williams, although his touchdown was on an in-breaking route at the back of the end zone. So maybe
also a reverse, but yeah.
Yeah, and a reverse was his other play. But MVS now, this is an upgrade for him. Like, it's not like he's suddenly turning into this high-end target earner. I mean, he only had a 6% target share yesterday. But if you're going to give me a player that's going to be on the field for almost all of Patrick Mahomes' passing plays, then that's going to give him a better chance to come up with what you talked about. What is the thesis really around MVS? It's never that, oh my God, he's going to turn into like this high-end wide receiver too we love in fantasy. It's like, no, can he give me a spike week here or there? And the more you're on the field, well, the better chance that you're going to have to give us a spike week. So MVS, I do think that his play has earned him more playing time, at least based on the small amount of data that we have. So I think heading into this next weekend or Super Bowl weekend in 2 weeks from now, I think you have to look at MVS as being the clear-cut number 3 option behind Rashee Rice and Travis Kelce. Just real quickly, you know, hitting on a couple of other things here with the offense. You know, Kelce, 30% target share in 3 playoff games, which essentially matches where he's been the last 4 years. 3 years ago, he was at 23%. That's when you had Tyreek Hill still in the fold. But 3 out of the last 4 years, he's had a 30% target share in the playoffs. So Kelsey's just out here doing what Kelce does. You know, he doesn't care that he's 34 years old. I think right now, Ian, as long as he, you know, doesn't decide that he's not coming back, he still has to be the clear-cut number 1 next year heading into draft season. Probably a round 2 pick, more than a round 1 pick, but I do think this playoff performance will have people excited enough that they're not going to let him fall much further than that.
When you brought it up, even during his relatively down regular season, I mean, his efficiency numbers just went from, oh my God, like by far number 1 to still really freaking good. So yeah. I'm with you. Haven't seen a major drop off. And guess who's probably going to age gracefully? The guy who is attached to freaking Patrick Mahomes as his number 1 target. So great stuff in KC. Mahomes now trying to win his 3rd Super Bowl. Wild to think about if, you know, Tom Brady had maybe just said, I'm done after 2017 and Mahomes could already be touching, you know, 5 or 6 Super Bowls this young in his career. But again, Chiefs fans, you guys are, you know, having some pretty great years here. Best of luck here in 2 weeks. with the Ravens, mentioned that 13-yard completion, Lamar to himself. It's pretty tough to try to check, you know, throughout like a play-by-play query with a lot of these websites, but I researched it, and I'm pretty sure that was the third longest quarterback pass to himself in NFL history. Only Kent Graham and something named Milt Plum have him beat. So 2.82 PPR points.
I bet it was the longest ADOT. I bet it was the longest. I bet it was the longest depth of target to yourself. Dude, I mean, it was going forward. A lot of those others, you're going to go back and look at them, and they're going to be batted back to the quarterback. Like Lamar actually had to be moving forward on that play.
I want to try to watch the all 22 right now, because I'm pretty sure if that dude didn't get the shoestrings, Lamar might have housed that, which would have been honestly incredible. They showed Brandon Ayuk the morning after. He was watching Sports Center top 10, and his play was number two. And he's like, "You got to be kidding me. Who has number one ahead of me?" And then they showed Lamar, and he was still pissed about it. But man, if you're going to lose to, you know, Sports Center top play, might as well be something like that. But you mentioned otherwise, it was a bit of an inconsistent performance. Had a couple incredible plays. Again, that touchdown to Zay Flowers, avoids a sack, extends the play, then drops an absolute pearl into the end zone for a 30-yard touchdown. And also, Dwayne, let's remember Zay Flowers, you know, if he just doesn't freaking reach for the goal line there, maybe we could have been looking at a 17-17 game in the second half, where the Ravens were more consistently moving the ball than the Chiefs. They outgained him for the game, just a sad case where it wasn't quite enough to get it done. So yeah, again, even some of that passing yards was a bit inflated. Zay Flowers had a 54-yard catch on a complete coverage bust to set up that fumble in the first place. But yeah, man, overall, not obviously performance that Ravens fans wanted from the expected 2024 MVP. Were you surprised by the game plan, Dwayne? Because they ended up getting through plus 12% dropback rate over expected. They have hit that mark in two other games this year against the Rams and the Lions. Obviously worked out fine in both of those wins against, you know, high caliber playoff teams. But it shocked me how little they even really tried to run the football. I mean, just in terms of the running back carries, and I'm not saying he should have given Gus Edwards the ball 20 times, but Gus Edwards and Justice Hill, they combined for 6 carries, man. They previously hadn't had a running back total under 15 this season. Just seemed like an interesting choice to, again, so heavily air the ball out when, to your previous point, they weren't even being all that consistently finding success with it anyway.
Yeah, I mean, the Chiefs are a funnel defense. The only reason that they didn't give up way more yardage this year on the ground than they did is because they've been able to, you know, get themselves into situations where they're leading or they're in close games. But teams that have been able to challenge them on the ground have definitely taken advantage of that. And seeing the Ravens being the number one rushing, you know, team in the NFL, I was very surprised. And I think it could have helped the Ravens. I don't know how much you say the equation changes because down and distance and all these different things come into play. The drop back rate over expectation, I would have expected that to be much more like around zero, not 12%. Now, I mean, they got Lamar, you know, more involved in the run game, but they're just, to your point, like there wasn't a lot of carries to go around. When you look at, you know, the game log and you look at the rushing attempts, like you mentioned, only three for Hill, three for Gus Edwards. And then you had Lamar taking off and doing his thing on design running attempts 3 times. So really 9 design running attempts for the entire game. That's just not enough, especially when the Chiefs are the second best defense in the NFL against the pass, only giving up 5.3 yards per attempt, second to the Ravens, who are at 5.2. So I was very surprised. I do think having more of an established ground game, I know that sounds, you know, cliche, establish the run, but I do think making the Chiefs have to worry about that more would have been a benefit for Lamar and the rest of the team. So yeah, I was very surprised by the game plan.
Obviously, Lamar had his worst throw of the day was that interception to Isaiah Likely. Isaiah Likely throwing his hand up in triple coverage just had me cackling there. I think in Likely's defense, he cleared his coverage defender, and it was kind of like the catch he made against Derek Stingley Jr. last week where, you know, okay, yes, Isaiah Likely, he's a beast. If you put the ball in the exact right spot high enough in the end zone, maybe he could have come down with it. But obviously, underthrown, never should have been thrown in the first place. That was rough. But I do appreciate Likely considering himself like a prime 98 Randy Moss. So also, Lamar had a dropped interception in the third. So again, hardly his cleanest performance. But given the matchup, yeah. Just, you know, sucks, Dwayne. Would have liked to see Lamar, you know, get it done, but he's certainly still going to have plenty of haters saying he's not quarterbacky enough or this or that. Sadly, we'll have to wait until 2024, 2025 to see if he can finally make a more serious playoff run. Anything else here on the Ravens side of the football? I mean, we did finally get more OBJ to push Nelson Agholor, Mark Andrews more part-time in his first game back. Any final thoughts here, Dwayne?
Yeah, but even with OBJ, it was late. Like they didn't start doing that until the third and fourth quarter. I think Odell Beckham Jr. maybe had one target until like the maybe late in the third quarter. And then the late third quarter, fourth quarter, he got peppered with a few targets. But yeah, I they watch practice every day, Ian. We can't. I know they're making these determinations, but it does seem odd that you pay OBJ so much. The only thing I can think of is that they just didn't think he was good enough to be out there.
Yeah.
Because I don't think he was on pace to really have a great game until at the end when they just knew they were in comeback mode and they had to throw the ball all the time. They were like, okay, fine. Like, OBJ, you need to get out there. The only other thing I would say is, you know, and it's just, again, like, I hate to double guess this stuff, but like on third downs and stuff, why not? If you're going to have Mark Andrews out there and he's healthy enough to play the game, why not just have him down out there every third down, yeah, you know, versus saying, hey, we're going to give you a series here. We're going to give you a series there. I just thought that overall, like the game plan, the player utilization by Todd Monken was very questionable. A guy that we've been pretty positive about, right, for most of the season. I wasn't very impressed yesterday, just with the overall game plan. Final note would just be, yeah, to your point, Zay Flowers, you know, getting loose deep. Now, one of them was a blown coverage. The other one, like you mentioned, it was just scramble drill, Lamar buying time, making a great play, Lamar being Lamar. But hey, Zay Flowers had to, you know, beat his coverage and get over the top. He had man coverage on that play. He kept it alive and he got deep, scored the touchdown. So that was great. Like you mentioned, the other one to the left sideline towards the boundary, that was just complete blown coverage, you know, by the Chiefs. And honestly, like Flowers then gets up and does the taunting thing at the end of that. I'm just like, dude, like, come on. It was a rough sequence for Zay Flowers there. In about a 2 minute span, you know, he goes from what? He has the taunting play, fumbles at the 1 yard line or at the goal line, and then goes to the sideline and is banging his hands on the bench and hits his helmet and lacerates his hand. Like it's not even a three-play sequence, but three-event sequence for a rookie that otherwise, like, he had a pretty good season. And I will say it was good to see him get loose deep a little bit, because that's the thing we haven't seen consistently from him this year. He's really been more attached to the line of scrimmage, getting a lot of gadgety stuff, which is fine, but we just want to mix in some of the other things, especially if you're going to be on a team like the Ravens, that they're not going to be pass-heavy. If you're Rashee Rice and you're getting those kind of targets mixed in with some intermediate stuff, but you're on a pass-heavy team like the Chiefs, well, that's fine. You can overcome in fantasy, but on a team like the Ravens that wants to run as much as they do, we do need a little bit more from Zay Flowers to get super excited about him in 2024.
Again, certainly a huge net positive for the Ravens on the year, but yeah, those three plays, man, that is a sheesh coincidence there ever has been one. Saw a lot of those personal fouls by the Chiefs. I believe they had four on the game, man. It was hilarious. One of them, you know, Mahomes throws the ball and it's like, oh, roughing the passer, and the whole bar goes nuts. Like, oh, come on, superstar treatment. And they show the replay. He just takes like a left hand straight to the jaw, like yeah, the most obvious roughing the passer ever. So, yeah, you know, a bit undisciplined. Travis Kelce was just talking all that shit the entire game. Ravens fans out there, I bet you guys hate that guy more than freaking ever right now. The way he was laughing at Roquan and talking shit to Hamilton. Even the pregame, man. I will say, Justin Tucker, get the hell out of their way. What are you even doing at the goal line? You don't kick from the goal line in the first place. So that part pissed me off. But hey, overall, Dwayne, I thought it was a fun game. It was going to be a lot better, obviously. It seemed like it was going to be after the first 20 or so minutes. But all in all, quality AFC Championship.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be a lot better too. But yes, it was a quality game. I just, the consistency was the big challenge for Lamar. He made the big plays, but he was not able to just keep his team moving the chains consistently. And that just led to kind of an avalanche of things that ultimately just put them in a situation where, you know, not throwing, you know, in optimal conditions. When you're playing against a really good pass defense, it's tough enough anyway. But when they know you're going to be throwing the ball and the Chiefs have a pretty good pass rush, that just makes it a situation that's really hard to overcome. So Lamar, Todd Monken, those guys are all going to have to tighten things up. They've got to be much more consistent than that to be able to beat a guy like Mahomes in the playoffs.
Congrats to the Chiefs. And accordingly, guys, Super Bowl 58 is just around the corner, and we've teamed up with our friends over there at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official partner of the NFL, who are gearing up for the big game with a huge offer. Right now, all new customers will get $200 in bonus bets instantly when they place their first $5 wager on anything. Get in on the action by downloading the DraftKings app, and don't forget to use our promo code MONDAYNIGHT. One word, MONDAYNIGHT. That's right. New customers who bet just $5 will get $200 back back in bonus bets instantly. Wondering what you can use your $200 in bonus bets on? Well, combine multiple bets together from the same game for a shot at an even bigger payout. And if sports betting is not yet available in your state, don't worry, you can still join in on all the fun with DraftKings Daily Fantasy and have a chance to win cash prizes. So everyone, download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Again, new customers using our promo code MondayNight and betting just $5 on any wager will get $200 back in bonus bets instantly. That's promo code MondayNight only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours. 49ers took down the Lions 34-31 in a back-and-forth NFC championship. 49ers did cover. The Lions covered, as 7.5-point dogs. The over did cash with relative ease at 52.5. So shout out George Kittle at the post-game celebration. Hit the, they had us in the first half, not going to lie, quote. And they really did, Dwayne. I mean, the Lions had a 91.5% win probability. And then you're welcome, 49ers fans. I bet the Lions money line live and everything completely went to shit there. So that was a lot of fun. 49ers are now 3-29 when trailing by 14 plus points under Kyle Shanahan, getting this done again in consecutive weeks, even though the going wasn't easy. So gotta get Brock Purdy, our DraftKings Sportsbook player of the day, leading those 27 second half points, field goal, touchdown, touchdown, field goal, touchdown in those second half drives. So really what was impressive to me, Dwayne, was the off-script stuff. And that's why the Jimmy G comps have always been lazy, because of what Purdy can do when the play does actually break down. I mean, even in the first half when things were going great, man, still had a couple plays where he was taking huge hits. I know one to Debo in particular was a great throw. Had another nice extension to Ayuk. Had a sick one in the third quarter. Like, the dude was awesome when he held the ball for over 3 seconds. 7 for 9 for 151 yards. So, again, had the interception in there. But even that play, you know, you get your hand hit as soon as you're throwing the football. It wasn't like it was just a horrendous throw or anything like that. So also saw Purdy chip in 48 rushing yards. I mean, only the second time he's ever gone over 20. One thing, Dwayne, that I do think we should look into, maybe for the Super Bowl, you know, we got some time, but at least before the playoffs next year, I feel like these quarterback rushing totals, man, they should just be higher than what they usually are in the playoffs. Like, yeah, I know Lamar is like spiked up. We see the Josh Allen, but guys like Purdy, Dak, you know, Mahomes and some of these other dudes, I just think we're much more often going to see them increase their scramble rate and even their design runs when we are in a playoff setting. So overall thoughts on Purdy, Dwayne, who, again, I would appreciate if we can just say he's a really good quarterback and not necessarily crown him the MVP of planet Earth. But by God, if anyone is still out there just doesn't think he's even like a little bit good, I don't know what the hell they're smoking.
Yeah, for sure. I think Brock Purdy is a good player. I think you could even say maybe he's a really good quarterback. He's just not the best quarterback on the planet. He's not the MVP. But it's funny, like when you watch the discourse, it's still very two-sided out there. It's like, oh, he sucks versus, oh, he's great. The truth is, like with most things, Ian, somewhere in the middle. But you mentioned around the scramble stuff, and that is something that I started looking into. And, you know, I talked with our CEO, Elliot Chris. That's something that he's done really well on in the postseason play that he talked to me about, is betting on these quarterback rushing props. And I didn't get a chance to go deep enough, but essentially, like, I just typically, like, I shave off 10% of what I'm doing at the end on a lot of these rushing totals. And I just cut it down to only shaving off 5% for quarterbacks. Nice. But I'm going to go do the due diligence and actually dig into it more for next season, whenever we get to the playoffs. But yeah, just Brock Purdy himself has been scrambling more. You know, he's got a 5% scramble rate in the divisional round and an 8% scramble rate last weekend. He's at 4% for the season. So that was 2 scrambles in the divisional round, 3 scrambles this past weekend. You talked about it. Obviously got some good yards on those plays. It wasn't just, oh, scramble 3 or 4 yards to try to, you know, because nobody's open. He was actually making a decision that, no, the best play here is for me to run with it, and I'm going to go get a first down. And he did a really good job with that. So yeah, I thought that was nice to see that other element. We've seen it at brief periods, but it's just not typical for the 49ers because they have so many weapons. Usually, you don't get to your third read without having someone that is already open that you could go to. And hey, credit to the Lions for that, because a terrible secondary, but they were making Brock Purdy get through reads. And, you know, he just said, okay, great. I'm just going to make you pay with my legs. And I thought that was a big positive for him.
Aiden Hutchinson and company did get him under pressure on about 41% of his dropbacks. And that's kind of the second side of that, Dwayne. I remember going into this game, you shouted out the Lions that they had run like the third most man coverage in the league over the previous 6 weeks. So when you have those defenders having to turn their back, the quarterback presents that many more opportunities to get loose on the ground. Obviously, wasn't alone. It is a team sport after all. Christian McCaffrey, 132 total yards and 2 touchdowns. Deebo Samuel, 96 yards on 11 touches. forced 8 missed tackles on those 11 touches, Dwayne. I mean, my goodness, this dude makes the first defender miss each and every time. It was great to see Debo really not looking any different despite playing through the pain of that shoulder injury. And then Brandon Ayuk, of course, 3 catches, 68 yards, and a touchdown. Had an absolutely ridiculous juggling, like, 50-yard catch on a pass that I don't, like, they threw a flag, so I guess it would have been a DPI anyway and not an interception, but yeah, Purdy got a little bit lucky, hit the defender in the face mask, and ends up getting rewarded with a chunk play for it. Actually, almost threw an interception 2 plays later, but kept his poise, ended up capping off the drive with a touchdown to Brandon Ayuk. So again, man, just really was the tale of two halves. And if you're a 49ers fan, you will take it back in the Super Bowl for the first time since they sadly lost to the Chiefs here a few years ago. Certainly, Dwayne, maybe not playing their best football of the year, but certainly still showing that, man, when they're right, just like they were in the second half, hard to keep up with this offense.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, they can just do so many different things. You know, you've got, number one, you got to worry about Christian McCaffrey right out of the backfield and as a running back. So you've got to be committed to stopping the run. Then you have Debo Samuel getting all these little plays around the line of scrimmage. And really, Debo, to his credit, yesterday was doing more than that. Like, he was getting hit on these deep end breaking routes, on crossing routes, beating man coverage, where really Brandon Ayuk has been the number one. And Ayuk was getting his targets early, but he and Jimmy G, man, Brock Purdy, wow, Freudian slip. Maybe I do think he's still Jimmy G. But, you know, Purdy and Ayuk, they just weren't on the same page. Like, the targets were coming early, but they just weren't. That first one was great, like this out route, it was like right at the sideline, and Ayuk snagged it for 11 yards. I was like, okay, here we go. Man coverage, let's go, Ayuk. And they weren't able to get it clicking. And so, to Debo's credit, he was able to come through and do more than just be that guy around the line of scrimmage with all the man coverage. He was running a little bit of a different route tree because Kittle was pretty much a non-factor. So it was really big that Debo was able to come through. And, you know, who would have known? This just shows you how things go, Ian. Like, we're looking at it last week when the week starts, thinking, you know, Debo's probably not going to play. And then by the end of the week, it's like, oh, no, he's fine. He's going to be full. And you're thinking, you know, I don't know if I believe that. It's a playoff game. Are they going to use him as really a decoy? Oh, no, he really was 100% out there. You know, he was heavily featured, took heavy hits right away on the shoulder, was fine. They were kind of working on him over on the sideline, but it looked like it was just more of a maintenance thing. He never had to go to the blue tent. So, you know, good for Debo. It did end up hurting Ayuk a little bit. Like, he still had a 26% target share yesterday, but Debo actually led the team, 33% target share yesterday. So, yeah, hat tip to Debo and really nothing else. Like, it's just a very diverse team. I mean, you could take away 2 weapons and you're still screwed. There's going to be 2 other really good weapons left. Most teams, if you can take away their top 2 weapons, if you can manage to somehow do that, which really only the best defenses in the league are even capable of doing that, then you're good. You're set. But with the 49ers, there's 2 more. So it's just, no matter what, you're just facing an uphill battle against this offense. But I am very, very interested to see how it goes, because the Chiefs are really good against the pass. But I think that Christian McCaffrey could really gash them. Yesterday, if you look at the 49ers, even though, you know, they did have to pass more because of the way that the game script went, like, relative to the way everything worked out, it was still a minus 9% drop back rate over expectation. So given how much they were trailing by, they were still sticking to the run. Given all of the factors, like yesterday, they actually came in as a run heavy archetype, even though they had to drop back a lot in the second half. So I think that will continue to be part of their game plan. They're a very balanced team, man. You can't take it all away.
Didn't see any eventual injury updates on McCaffrey after he landed on his head near the goal line. Ended up leading to a short Elijah Mitchell touchdown there. And McCaffrey wasn't in there on that last drive. I was shocked that the 49ers were just still handing it off. Like, take an extended knee, bro. I know you had to kill a couple seconds there, but just having me nervous. But again, 2 full weeks to get ready for the Super Bowl. Again, no news that he's even in the concussion protocol. Honestly, what we've seen from the concussion protocol in the second half of the year, I have no, you know, hesitation about thinking Christian McCaffrey will be suiting up here in 2 Sundays. But yeah, mentioned some of these other guys on the 49ers offense. Yeah, you can cover all the stars, Dwayne, and then still see Kyle freaking Juszczyk catching a pass 23 yards downfield because he's a good player. Yeah, George Kittle, only 2 catches for 27 yards. And then you see a highlight of him pancaking Aiden freaking Hutchinson out there. Even Juwan Jennings is like, on this team, is just like a perfect number 3 receiver. And you see him making the most out of his opportunities, even though they obviously aren't overly, you know, prominent, especially in a game like this. So great team effort. Brock Purdy, he was great out there. 49ers fans, you should be thrilled. Certainly have something grooving. And now just 1 game away from the first championship since Is it 94? Have they gotten one since then? I'm forgetting about. I think it's 94, right? When they killed the Chargers.
To win one? Yes.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
I mean, yeah. They had the Harbaugh loss. Obviously, yeah. Well, yeah, they obviously lost to the Chiefs, but yeah.
Great day to be great. And the Chiefs won as well. So on the other side of the football, it's tough to even be too hateful on the Lions. I know everyone wants to look at Dan Campbell. Like, these people, Dwayne, are they watching the game? Like, they're completely quiet. And then when they miss the fourth down conversion, like, yeah, I would have taken the points there. I mean, it's just such hindsight, you know, 2020 sort of like thinking here. And yeah, okay, they missed a couple fourth downs. Would have been a lot cooler if Josh Reynolds would have caught one of those conversions and really set them up. But, you know, it's the way they played all year. That same philosophy has allowed them to be so aggressive on third downs in the first place. I mean, the amount of third and longs they were getting this entire game, man, whether it was a screen to Amon-Ra, running the football on like third and 14, still picking up. I mean, to really have an over, like, too big of a problem with the play calling and decision making going on is ridiculous. They scored 31 points. They had the second most total yards in this 49ers defense all season long. I do not think he could have asked any more out of Goff, Dan Campbell, or really anyone involved. I thought the only quote unquote coaching blunder was when they were at the very end of the game and they ran the ball on third and goal and they had to use that timeout, ultimately sealed their fate there. But again, that's pretty ticky tack. We've seen worse. Come on, man.
You just have to have a play ready. Like if you're calling a run there, like, you already need to know your fourth down play. Like, you can't like let a little bit of the clock run off while you're going to the line to get started again versus, you know, using your timeout because, you know, your timeout once, you know, the opponent has the ball is going to be much more valuable because they're going to use the whole play clock versus you're only going to use 10 seconds. So I think that was one thing like that you could look at as far as the field goal stuff. Look, like you said, that's the way Dan Campbell's played all season. And that's part of the reason the Lions are where they are. Like, I get why some Lions fans are upset, man. If we could have just kicked that field goal, we come down, we tie it. But, you know, if you get the first down on that play before and you end up scoring a touchdown, well, then you're winning the game on the next drive. So it really cuts both ways. I appreciate like the approach for Dan Campbell, but I also do get it when some of the people look, especially Lions fans, man, it's just been so long. So I can get why you want to second guess it the next day. But I think if I'm you, I don't want Dan Campbell to change.
No, that was such a gut punch for Lions fans. I'm sorry, guys. Like, I would equate it, you know, not to make everything about me, but when Ohio State lost to Georgia, like, I went into that game, Buckeyes were 5-point dogs. I did not expect to win, all right? But then you have a first half where you are winning, your hopes completely reverse itself, and then
your expectations change, yep.
And then you're just screwed. So that, because, like, I don't know, I'm sure Lions fans were hopeful, but you're 7.5-point dogs, you're on the road, you know how good the 49ers were, but a 92% win probability. If I was a Lions fan, man, I'd rather lose by 35 versus that. I mean, I know this shows you're a better team and everything, but that is rough. Again, all parties involved were pretty much great. David Montgomery, 93 yards and a touchdown. Jahmyr Gibbs did have the fumble. Something wonky was going on there. Him and Goff weren't on the same page. He had his wrong arm up to get the handoff. So, yes, not good to fumble anyway, but certainly some sort of miscommunication there. Still had 56 yards and a touchdown. Sam Laporta, 97 yards. Sun God, 87 yards on 7 catches. Even Jameson Williams, man, electric 42-yard touchdown run, also hauled in a touchdown later to get the cover. I would say Jameson did drop what could have actually been a 37-yard touchdown, went through his hands there. And then Josh Reynolds sadly killed 2 second half drives despite being pretty damn good throughout this year. First on a 4th and 2 went off his hands, more of a diving one. The next one on 3rd and 9, absolutely egregious. So again, Dwayne,
the one to Jameson was tough. It's like one of those balls that's literally tracking right over the top of your head where it's like he had his hands out. He knew it was about to be there, but he just didn't locate it in time. It could have been caught, but I will say, like, when that ball's coming directly over your helmet like that, it can be really hard to find.
It's weird, man, because I know the speed on him. A lot of things he did at Alabama. He obviously can stretch defenses deep. I've been more impressed with him, like, as a yak merchant this year. They use him on the reverses. He's had some short area quickness that surprised me on other plays. So he did play full-time, Dwayne, which we've been waiting for. But I'll be very interested to see if the Lions make a meaningful move to try to upgrade from, at a minimum, Josh Reynolds. I mean, lest we forget, they came into this season, lost DJ Chark, and just brought in old man Marvin Jones, who wasn't even on the team by the halfway point. Seems like this Lions offense, if they can add anything, which, again, you just scored 31 points, you've been a top five group the last 2 years, but assuming Ben Johnson will be going elsewhere, might need those Jimmys and Joes to be pulling their weight just a little bit more. I really feel like just using at least a day two pick on this wide receiver room will go a long way, Dwayne, because otherwise, particularly under center, I don't think there's any problems here.
Yeah, I think they want Jameson to be the field stretcher, though, just to open everything up for Amon-Ra, Laporta, and then, you know, Gibbs underneath in the passing game. Yesterday, even a little bit of Montgomery. If you look at this, it's like a mirror image of really what Sean Payton and the Saints did. And that's where Dan Campbell comes from. You got a great tight end. Think back in the day when they had Jimmy Graham, they had Darren Sproles,
Kobe Flinner.
Those combos.
No, I'm kidding.
Yep. And then they had Marquise Colston, who was really, he played outside, but he was working more of the underneath intermediate type stuff, more like what Amon-Ra St. Brown is. So it's a very similar offense to what we saw with the Saints back in its heyday that Dan Campbell has really built this core of players. Like, if you think about the draft capital he spent, I don't think it's by accident. I think he looked at that as being the model for the type of team he wanted to build. And, we've seen from the analytics that like attacking the middle of the field can be very profitable. And I think that the Lions have that all covered in spades. They don't even have to have a great deep threat, but they just have to have someone that teams know, like, we can't just ignore them. If we like, you can't have an MVS. Like, teams for the most part could just say, well, I know he's come through the last couple of weeks, but like, teams feel like they can pretty much ignore MVS. I don't know that Jameson's to that level yet, but I am with you. I'm interested to see. I think you need someone to challenge Jameson. Because right now, like, even yesterday, even though he had the nice game, came through with the two scores, like, he had a crossing pattern that he caught that was still a double clutch. He just doesn't seem completely comfortable. Give him a little bit of pass on that touchdown pass that he dropped, just because, like, again, like, the angle of the ball and everything. But overall, like, Jameson has not lived up to his potential. He's fast. He can make big plays, which was as advertised, but you don't spend a first round pick for a guy just to go out there and run wind sprints.
Lions currently have the second fewest dollars devoted to their wide receiver room in 2024. Only the Falcons are actually below them. So, hey, I'm not even saying that get rid of Josh Reynolds. He was good for, 19 of the 20 games he played this season. Obviously, you would have preferred if, he could have used up the bad game a bit earlier in the year. But again, just trying to add another dynamic player, I think, could go a long way, especially if we are going to see a bit of a fall off in the scheme. And obviously, schedule is going to be getting harder, too, after getting that first place finish. So only final note would be, Dwayne, like, just how has your opinion on Jared Goff changed this year? Because I wasn't convinced that he was necessarily in that, Kirk Cousins, arguable top 10 tier as a quarterback, because we had just seen more down years, whether it was, the first year at the Lions or kind of the end of his Rams stretch. But we now are looking at, 24 plus months straight of Goff looking the part of a top 10 quarterback. No, he's not going to be out there, I think, engaging in the sort of aesthetically pleasing Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen shit out. He doesn't play the position that way. But again, man, he went out there and scored 31 points on the road against one of the best defenses in football. And other than, kind of missing Jahmyr Gibbs on what could have been that 18-yard touchdown, wasn't a layup. But that literally, man, was probably the only throw of the game that I didn't think he put where it needed to be. They have him under contract for 2024, one more season. But man, if anyone out there has earned, the benefit of the doubt in the long-term deal, probably Goff, man. He had random grocery stores in Detroit just breaking out in Jared Goff chants. It was awesome.
Yeah, I think he's a starting quarterback, in the NFL. I don't know that I can go way further than that. I think when you surround him with good talent, we've seen it twice now. He did it with the Rams. He's now doing it with the Lions. So I don't know how you can argue with it. I think he's probably slightly below Kirk Cousins. I think Kirk Cousins is like a slight step above, but he's in that range. So as long as the Lions, keep this offense intact, I do think that Jared Goff is good enough to win a Super Bowl. I think the biggest thing for the Lions, they've got to improve their defense, man. Yeah. Like, they have got to find somebody that can play on the outside and get a stop. They've been really good against the run. So I think, from that perspective, even though, McCaffrey was okay yesterday from a yards per carry standpoint, like, they held him down. He started getting it going a little bit towards the end of the game. Lions defense was getting tired, but they've got to find a way to improve their secondary so that they can get some stops and not give up these huge passing yardage games. If the Lions could become middle of the pack pass defense next year and keep this offense rolling the way it is, and to your point, it could be a challenge. If Johnson moves on, they got to figure out who their offensive coordinator is, but all the ingredients are here for someone to come in and really just keep that same sort of offense going. But if they could get a pass defense that's more towards the middle of the pack, then I think the Lions could be a really dangerous team. Until they do that, like, it's just going to be a challenge. You end up in these shootouts, and sometimes you just come out on the wrong end of it.
They look great, the Lions scrimmage. could use a second wide receiver, but more than anything, yeah, it is improving that secondary. I'll say though, Dwayne, I mean, right now they are one of only nine teams with fewer than $80 million devoted to their defense for this upcoming season. We've seen teams throw a ton of money at defense in free agency and have pretty quick turnarounds. I mean, again, I thought they played a hell of a lot better yesterday than their like season-long stats indicated, and even their recent performance over the last 5-6 weeks, perhaps indicated. But again, just being able to add a bit more talent there. We don't need him to be, you know, Sauce Gardner Jets level good in the secondary, but give me the 16th best defense in pass EPA, you know, not the 29th ranked unit or whatever they were finishing at, especially down the stretch. So again, congrats to the 49ers, congrats to the Chiefs, and we will be back breaking that down before too long. So Dwayne, good stuff, my friend. Probably the first recap we've ever done under an hour. Yeah, only two games.
Oh, wow, we made it.
We made it, man.
Under 45 minutes, this might be a record.
Wow, look at that. We can now say hi to the family. So anything else you want to get off your chest, my friend?
No, man. Writing up the utilization report. So I'm going deep into both of the teams that are advancing. So pretty much a write-up on most of the players. So you guys will be able to check that out on the website tomorrow morning, or you can get it in the newsletter.
Great day to be great there. Please subscribe to our always free newsletter. Also got Betting Life, also free with the newsletter. So if you guys are like Dwayne and myself trying to bet on some stuff, still get, you know, that sweat in, but you happen to look up and realize you know nothing about sports that aren't the NFL, keep on keeping on with our Betting Life experts, Matthew Friedman, Jeff Ulrich, Matt LaMarca, the whole crew balling out all season long. And we are excited to see what they have in store for us as we get into these non-football months, but still one game to go. We'll be back with plenty more preview content over the course of these next 2 weeks. So appreciate you guys tuning in as always. For Dwayne, I'm Ian. It's been the Fantasy Life Podcast. And until next time, take care, everybody.